This recording is from FinTech Nexus USA, formerly known as London FinTech USA, held at the Javits Center in New York City on May 25th to 26, 2022. It's from the track Fireside Chat and it's titled From Funding to Forgiveness, Leveraging Embedded Finance to Power Student Debt Savings. Speaking on a session are Niranjan Ram Ramaswamy from Fiserv with Laura Taylor from Future Fuel.
Hey, good morning. Let's get started because we got 20 minutes. So thanks for walking from wherever you walked and coming into the session. Welcome. And I hope you're having a fantastic conference, right? So we're going to talk about a subject today that's pretty important. Consumer debt, in March, it grew by about $52.4 billion, which is about a 14% increase annually, seasonally adjusted according to Federal Reserve data. So that's a huge amount. And a large portion of that debt is student loan debt, right? Second to like mortgages. So a lot of this debt is going to be due here pretty quickly. And so everyone needs to have a plan, right? Whether it's borrowers, banks, credit unions, fintechs. And, we at Fiserv, we recognize this. And, we want to make sure that, our clients strengthen their relationships with their account holders. And so part of our, as we look at this situation, we know that fintechs have to be part of the solution. It's not just banks. So we partner with a lot of fintechs, such as Future Fuel. And we're going to get into a lot more about student debt and that situation that's in front of us, right? My name is Niranjan Ramaswamy. Go by Ram, easier to pronounce. I'm from Fiserv. We'd like to think of us as one of the original fintechs. We serve financial institutions, merchants, and of course, fintechs. Last year, we formed a dedicated segment to collaborate and accelerate our partnerships and go to market with fintechs and banks. And I'm thrilled to be joined here by Laurel Taylor. She's CEO and founder of Future Fuel and an expert on student loan and debt management. Let's get started. So Laurel, if you want to kind of share with your initial insights and some of your stories with the audience, and also talk about this clock that's ticking in front of us and your position, let's get started with that.
Fantastic, Ram. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. For me, as the founder and CEO of Future Fuel, it is a dream to have the opportunity to partner with an institution, organization, the largest fintech in the world from my perspective, Fiserv. And so I'll share a little bit about my story and the founding story of Future Fuel, because I think many, and this is a nice intimate audience, so let's keep it conversational, just jump in with questions. So I founded Future Fuel from my own personal experience. Candidly, it is really difficult to navigate the full life cycle of education expenses. And Peter Rinton of Lendit asked me in an interview when my journey with student debt began. And I wasn't expecting the question. I kind of laughed and said, at birth. And then I thought, wow, that's a pretty profound statement, because most of us, even if you do everything right as a family and you save in your 529 plans, the reality is the cost of education has outstripped inflation by fourfold. And most of us as Americans, over 60%, do not have $400 in savings, so certainly do not have, even for state schools, the tuition that's required every year. And so I grew up in a household where my mother really valued education, and we know that the data show that lifetime earnings increase dramatically with the education that one achieves. So I always knew I would go to college. My mom made $24,000 a year as a social worker, and I also always knew I would take out loans to pursue my dreams of going to school. And that's what I did. I went to a state school and I graduated with student debt. My mom actually took out a Parent PLUS loan to help me go to school. Her interest rate was 9%. And then for the next 10 years of my career, every decision that I made was actually about my student debt. The first job I took, the number of roommates that I had, when I started saving, which by the way was too late, when I started putting away for retirement savings, which was 10 years after my peers. And while I was doing that, my mom was as well. She was in the last 10 years of her career and she also was not saving. We're not unique. The data show that 84% of us with student debt delay retirement savings and cite student debt as our number one source of delay. But it doesn't have to be that way. Really, the root cause of that issue is the data show, and the CFPB has evidenced this, that those of us with debt prioritize debt pay down and then building wealth. And so at Future Fuel, our mission is to unlock immediate debt savings, to unblock savings and retirement savings, and help families prepare for and plan for college, pay for college, and access the lowest interest rates that the market will offer and can offer, so they feel confident that they've made the right decision. And now our platform serves up 3 million unique combinations of solutions to help families better manage and pay down the debt that they do take on. And I built it because I needed it, and my mom needed it, and our country needs it. And so distributing as an embedded finance solution through Fiserv and meeting users where they bank, which is a really natural relationship for users to have with their banks, is how we're reaching users today.
And that's more important because this debt holiday is about to get over. Right. It's I think the date now is August, and I think you told me. And every time, there's been 7 times when this holiday is supposed to go over, and people are scrambling. They've had this hiatus for the last 2 years, and every time the debt's supposed to go away, internet searches increase by 5,000% because people are scrambling. They don't remember their username, passwords, right? So, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, do you think someone's going to snap their fingers and wave this thing away, or what are we going to walk into whenever it goes away?
Perfect. So, that is the most. Thank you for asking that, Ram. That is the most common question that we receive: is it all just going to go away? So, of the 1.8 trillion in student debt, about 90% of that is federal student debt. So as Ram is speaking to, in March of 2020, there was a pause on student loan payments and interest accruing, and that has been extended multiple times, about 15 days prior to when the moratorium was scheduled to end. That has caused a number of unintended consequences. You know, college is the OG buy now, pay later, if you think about it. It's the OG. And so it's, you know, pay later and later, later, a little bit later. So over the last 2.5 years, what's happened is those who have federal student loans, over half have actually taken advantage of the payment holiday. And that was necessary in March 2020. Now, 2.5 years later, finding $353 to $500 in your wallet that you've repurposed to groceries, rent, other credit card debt, which has exploded. Axios, just which you cited the data.
Revolving credit, you know, 21% increase.
21% increase. Yeah, and we've seen unfortunately, the layoffs that have happened this week in the buy now, pay later kind of ecosystem because users are defaulting, they're not paying. So what will happen when the moratorium ends, because it will end, it will be one of the largest financial crises for Americans today, because they're not actually going to know what to do. And a little bit of this is crying wolf. And the 5,000% increase, I previously led a global business unit at Google and really enjoy looking at the activity online as kind of a window into what are Americans thinking about, what are they looking for. So every time the moratorium is coming up, there's a surge in users looking for really leadership and clarity. What's the deal? Are my payments due again? Who is my servicer? Not sure, because my payments were interrupted for that auto debit was interrupted and new servicers have come onto the scene. And so that is, I think, the real hero moment for financial institutions is, you know, as we think about really, really serving users as a community. Community banks, and credit unions already have a relationship with that user who is online searching for solutions. And it's not just student debt, right? It's mom debt, dad debt, spousal debt. And so that financial institution, that user turning to that financial institution to learn, wow, I didn't know that Milford Bank could help me discover, select, and enroll in federal programs that are actually available that could bring my payment down by $326 a month as I'm thrust back into repayment. So users are going to be seeking solutions. Banks are there for a hero moment if they choose to claim it and take it and help that user create debt savings.
So I'm going to come back to that hero moment for the banks, but let's talk about who's in debt. Because, you know, when you think about student loan debt, you think it's a student in debt. But, you know, in researching some of the statistics, I found that, you know, actually baby boomers, so you're talking 50 plus, they have the highest, second highest average debt. So if you think about that, how can that be? 77% of baby boomers took out debt for their children, right? And if you look at that generation, they are looking to finish off and pay off their mortgage, you know, put money into benefits, into retirements, because they're looking at the next stage to be living off benefits versus a paycheck. But if they default on their debt, on their student loan debt, like the Parent Plus, you know, program, which is a federal student loan program, then they have to postpone all of these life events that they're looking at and figure it out. Generation X, they carry the highest average student loan debt at about $50,000. And that's, you know, Gen X is what, between, let's say, 40 to 55. And then you come down one below that, Gen Y. So you're looking at someone from 30 to 45. They carry, as a demographic, the largest student loan debt. 31% of student loan debt is in Gen Y, right? And we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, some of the challenges they're going through. And then my favorite, Gen Z. This is the most, so they're graduating, born 2000, you know, they're coming out of college right now. They're the most educated generation, right? They've gone to college the most. But their debt ratio is accelerating the fastest, right? So this is not just a 20-year-old student debt problem. This is multi-generation, right? And all of them, you know, bank at a bank, you know, they have financial institutions. So how should banks and financial institutions think about this, right? That you talked about the hero moment. But, you know, if they help their account holders pay down student debt, that's got to be able to strengthen their relationship with their customers, right? Well, you have a position on that?
Absolutely, yes. So I think you articulated this statistics extremely well, and student debt, mom debt, dad debt, spousal debt, and we're still myth busting around that, because when we think of student debt, yes, 7 out of 10 are graduating with student debt, but it is across the entire household. It's a household attribute. So I think what most financial institutions would be surprised to learn is the amount of student debt kind of under the hood that they are may just not be aware of. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about the data, but the what is so exciting about banks reaching out to the segment of customer they already serve is that the financial institution has the data and can actually see in payments in the student debt markers who will most benefit from solutions around student debt. And I mentioned the 3 million unique combinations of solutions that we serve up to serve the user and guide the user into the next best action. But market segmentation, the bank and most banks do not do this well in terms of understanding the users that they serve. And so we have what we call engage and grow, which is engage your existing customer base. We can help outreach to that customer base and serve up personalization and how that particular banking customer could benefit from solutions that the bank is now offering. Right. And then growing. Every FI wants a younger demographic of banking customer, and one of the most banks are also not as familiar with the student loan industry because there are a handful of lenders in the private student, some of whom are here in this audience, with Splash, that offer private student loans as well as student loan refinancing. Also, for banks, we have a white label co-branded product so that banks who actually want to help families prepare for, plan, and pay for college can begin that relationship in the first financial life event that user will have, again, with the mission of giving access to the lowest rates that the market will bear for that particular family.
You know, from our perspective, so that's fantastic. You know, one of the things we also, let's talk about banks and fintechs, because one of the things we also see is that people are going to fintechs for financial services. And you know, banks understand that, and because they can't be the end-all and be-all for everything. They're not going to be everything to everybody. So do you compete with that? No. You figure out how to get in that game, and part of that is collaboration, right? You go to fintechs, and you take what they have to offer and bring it to your market, because at the end of the day, your customers, they bank with you because they trust you. The trust is your bank, is your brand, right? And so we sort of start to see that, and start to enhance this collaboration. And when we bring fintechs to our market, we think that, you know, for example, if they were to help drive down student debt, that can help them take that savings and push it to something else that gets reinvested in that bank. For example, you know, baby boomers, they bought a house at an average age of 25. But if you look at Gen Y, they're pushing that out to 35. I know when we partnered, we were wondering the same thing. You know, how would Future Fuel and student loan debt management, how would that get embraced in our market? Because we've got, you know, 3,500 plus banks and credit unions, and their account holders are pretty seasoned. But we looked at some student loan debt markers, and we found some interesting data over there. Would you like to speak about that and, you know, what we found? Because data analytics and market research helped us a lot in that regard, right?
Really excited too. So when we first started speaking with Fiserv, the natural question was, well, do our account holders across those 3,500 financial institutions have student debt, tend to skew 45, 55 or more seasoned. So we analyzed a subsection of 266 banks of anonymized data. And what we found was $13 billion in student loan payments. This is just 266 of the 3,500. $13 billion of student loan payments made over the last 4 years. Had we been available to those users, we could have saved those users about $2.25 billion. If we look at actually the utilization all the way down our platform, $2.25 billion, which are dollars that we can unlock on student debt to unblock savings, retirement savings, and other interaction between that individual and their financial institution.
Yeah, even their mortgage, right? So let's talk about embedded finance as well, because these terms are going around, and how that relates to student loan and debt. So one of the questions I think everybody's asking is, you know, can you bank on your bank of today to be the bank of tomorrow? And, you know, and the answer is very generic, because everybody's looking for very tailored, specific, contextual experiences, right? And I'll use, let's use Gen Z as an example. You know, Gen Z, they were born around, let's say, 2000-ish, so they're between 22 to 26 at this point. And, you know, that's a generation that got an iPhone at age 7, like 2000. Can you imagine having an iPhone at age 7? You know, and then they've gone through the creation of the cloud, data analytics, social media, and even now crypto finance, right? I mean, these kids, you know, can you imagine, you know, if your children or your grandchildren at some point asked you, you know, where were you when money was created with all this crypto stuff that's going on? So for that generation that's coming out right now, you know, they are not going to sit in front of a 21-inch monitor and type in a 12-digit password and figure out how to right-click, left-click, and scroll a mouse, right? This is that generation grew up on swipes or Siri and voice control and biometrics. I'm sure if I asked any of you to swipe your thumb on your phone, you can do it twice in a second. So that's like a 500 millisecond attention span. And so how do you cater to that audience? And it has to be highly personalized and tailored and contextual and point-in-time experiences, especially in a situation like this, where this is a huge, huge problem. So we see a lot of confluence of fintechs, embedding fintechs into our financial, you know, sphere. And then you get this thing called embedded finance. And so a couple of things we're doing is we want to enhance this collaborative ecosystem. So we just launched an app market. There's a lot of apps out there that our financial institutions are looking on that. And then we've got an API economy that we're trying to leverage with our developer portal. And at the end of that, you know, it's just trying to bring financial realities to financial institutions for financial services. You know, once you connect those three dots, I think, you know, that's what strengthens relationships with banks and their account holders. And, you know, I think we've had a good relationship in bringing your company as well in your products out there. Now, one question I think that everybody may have is, in the context of student loan debt, do you have any more? I know you said the 3 million unique points, right? Can you speak to a little bit more about the full life cycle of student loan debt management and how that factors in and feeds into helping banks strengthen their relationship with their account holders?
Absolutely. So the number one request that we received from users was really around the core capabilities of the company has been around better managing and accelerating the pay down of existing debt. What we heard from our users was they really wanted us to get on the front end of that life cycle to help them with a number of tools, content, calculators, and we actually believe in micro actions and transactions that transform financial outcomes. So we have a heavy bias to action throughout our entire platform, which is personalizing and surfacing insights and options that the user can actually take action on platform. So we're a payments company. We've moved money since 2018. There are multiple ways in which we help users actually move into action. So one of which would be to, if you're preparing for and planning for college, how do you think about that? How do you navigate federal student aid and the system? How do you think about grants and scholarships? And then how do you actually create a 529 plan? And can we gamify the wallet to actually direct dollars of everyday spending and round up and spare change to 529 plans, for example? And then as your kiddos are getting ready for college, you know, how can, I mean, I remember when I went to school at MIT and there was a group of us sitting around the table, like, what was your interest rate? What was your interest rate? None of us really felt good that we had made an informed decision. And so having more of what we've created as a like a Google Flights, personalizing options for the user when they're in the mode of paying for school so that they can reach private sources of funding as well on the front end.
Yep. So we got about 15 seconds. We didn't get any questions. But I think, you know, banking is going through its Intel Inside moment. You know, they're the financial processing unit inside, you know, just like the Intel Inside analogy. And it's an exciting time. And so I want to thank Laurel joining me. And she's the expert on student loan debt management. And my name is Ram from FISA. We'll be outside and upstairs if anyone wants to talk to us. And for giving us the last 20 minutes of your time, thank you very much.
Thank you. Laurel. Thank you, Ram.